Hello, this is John Politon. I want to welcome you to Reformed Living. The passionate pursuit of holiness, obedience to the Word of God in every area, is the essence of the Christian life. It is my sincere prayer that the time we spend together today in God's Word will enable all of us to walk in greater holiness and thus to live our lives more to the glory of God.
Celeste Montague, thank you for joining us today. We just began a new study in the book of Romans, which is often referred to as a Bible within a Bible, a crucial letter written by the Apostle Paul to the believers in ancient Rome, and of course, to all believers today. The Apostle Paul was all about sharing and explaining the gospel, the good news of redemption through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's listen as John brings us a message today titled, Characteristics of Genuine Spiritual Ministry. And we are in Romans chapter 1. Here's John.
Romans chapter 1, as we're privileged to continue on in this study of this wonderful, marvelous magnum opus, if you will, of the Apostle Paul. Interestingly enough, we've studied the first seven verses where Paul outlines the gospel, the message, the preacher of the message, the provision of the message, and the privileges of preaching the message and so forth. And basically, he gives us an outline of where he's going to go in the entire 16 chapters of the book. And in verse 16, he's going to jump in with both feet, starting off with, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation and so forth. But we have this little interlude, if you will, in verses 8 through 15 and even into 16 a little bit, where Paul gets real personal and opens up his heart to these people. And initially, you might say, what's this all about? It doesn't seem to fit. And I want to explain to you, as we spend a little time before we celebrate the Lord's table today and probably wind up our thoughts on verses 8 through 15 next week, what this is all about. You see, there's some people who serve the Lord for various reasons. Some serve the Lord out of legalism. They just are afraid not to. They think that whatever they do in some sort of spiritual service, they're earning brownie points with God, and they better do that if they want to go to heaven or whatever. Some cults even teach that if you don't go on a 2-year missions trip, you're not going to go to heaven. You never make it, if you will. There's people that serve the Lord for prestige's sake. They want to be thought well of by other individuals. That's Diotrephes, as a matter of fact, in 3 John verse 9, where it says he sought the preeminence among the others. They want to be looked upon as holy or righteous or special or unique and thought of as a special way so that they can lord it over others. Some people serve because they've been intimidated into serving. They were intimidated as a child, maybe by a parent, into serving in some manner, and it became sort of a pattern of life, and they're still living under that intimidation and serving in some capacity in that way. Some, believe it or not, will serve and will minister in various ways for money. In case you haven't picked up on it, it's been true for a long time. Jesus sells and can sell big time. Well, all of that is external. All of that is fleshly. All of that is not honoring to the Lord. We get it. It's all superficial. It's ungodly. Okay, what's that got to do with verses 8 through 15 in this first chapter of the book of Romans? Well, Paul is writing this long letter to a church that he didn't found. He's writing a long letter to a church that no apostle founded. He's writing a long letter, his longest as a matter of fact, to a group of people who he's never visited, never met. And one of the questions they might have is, why is he writing this long letter to us? And by the way, why is it that this apostle to the Gentiles has never visited us, has never come to us and has never reached out to us? Well, the simple fact of the matter is Paul writes this letter and includes this particular passage, if you will, to answer those questions. He wants this church to know why he's writing to them. And the answer, of course, is he cares about their spiritual maturity. And he wants to tell them why he hasn't come, because to this point in time, he's been hindered. He's been kept from doing so. Okay? And we get a unique insight because he wanted to answer those two questions. And because under the auspices of the Holy Spirit, he slipped these eight verses in there, what we get as a byproduct, we get to see the apostle's heart. We get to see his real heart. You know, people look at Paul and you study Paul and you read the writings of Paul and so forth, and you see him as bold, challenging, confronting, leader, initiator, hardcore, you know, boots on the ground, ready to go. And he is. And then you also see his logical argument. You see his theological arguments in Romans and other books and so forth, and you realize tremendous intellectual mind that he had. So he's an initiator and he's an intellectual. But what people many times miss is that he had a tremendous intimacy, not only with God, he had an intimacy with the people he wanted to minister to. In other words, he has a real pastor's heart. Donald Gray Barnhouse said this, he has the zeal of a prophet, the mind of the teacher, the determination of the apostle, and the heart of a shepherd. And what you see in these eight verses is the heart of a shepherd. And what greater heart of a shepherd would you want to see other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, but humanly speaking, than the heart of the Apostle Paul? And in doing so, when he opens his heart to these people who he's never met, and he'll see he calls on God as his witness because he has no other witness but the Lord. And he says, I'm telling you the truth. God is my witness. He lays out various things to them that are on his heart. And what we see are several characteristics, several marks, several character qualities that identify true spiritual ministry, a genuine spiritual ministry. They are what I would call the marks of genuine spiritual service. And we're going to see them today and next week as we go through this passage of Scripture. So first of all, let's read the passage of Scripture, and then we'll go back and take it apart. Commencing at verse 8, Paul says this, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Some people think Paul was a southerner because of that phrase. Because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit, that's a key phrase, God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. I'm going to stop right there. I won't read all the rest of the phrases. The key phrase in all of this is verse 9, where he says, God, whom I serve in my spirit. Why do you say that? He was raised in Judaism. He'd seen the Pharisees. He'd seen the Sadducees. He'd seen the scribes. He'd seen the lawyers. He'd gone through all the rituals, and he knows what external ritualism and doing it by mechanical rote without your heart in it is all about. He was also raised in the Gentile side of things as well. And he knows what the pagan religions and all their ritualism and the way that they would just mechanically go through things as well. Sort of a phony functioning. He says, my service, my ministry comes where? I serve God in my spirit. It's from the spirit. It's from the inner man. It's from me. And of course, being born again, if you will, he is obviously alluding as well to the Holy Spirit of God resident within him. But what he's really saying here is, we use the phrase, I was thinking about this in high school and college, the pep band or the cheerleaders, a lot of times they were referred to as the spirit team, the spirit corps. They were always trying to pump up school spirit and everything. But when somebody throws themselves into them and they maybe have a really intense kind of over the top kind of play in a spiritual, in a sports setting, in an athletic athletic event or something like that, we'll say, man, that is really spirited play. Many schools, as a matter of fact, have a special award. They call it the Spirit Award, the Team Spirit Award, for the individual who just goes all in over the top. And what Paul is saying, I'm all in. I'm totally committed. I literally, when it comes to ministry, when it comes to serving you, it is with me, the spirit, the inner man. It's not legalism. It's not performing. It's not going through the rituals. It's not just jumping through hoops. It's not a bunch of checking the box, doing a bunch of things. This I do from the core of my being. And the word he uses there, by the way, for I serve in the spirit. The word there is lutreo. There is a word that we translate worship in the scripture, lutreo. But it can also be translated, and often is translated, in another sense. It can be translated worship, or it can be translated service. And so often, we get caught up with the externals as Christians. And we start thinking that worship is, you know, stained glass windows and pipe organs and or whatever. And we get caught up in the externals. The Word of God is very clear. Our service is our worship.
Our spiritual service of worship involves all that we are, body, soul, and spirit. We'll hear more about this in a moment. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon as we continue our study in the book of Romans and part one of a message titled, Characteristics of Genuine Spiritual Ministry. Please visit reformedlivingministries.org where you can learn more about John's church. You can download free MP3 copies of John's sermons by clicking the sermon tab, or order CD copies of John's teaching too by clicking the contact tab and then sending us your CD request by email. That's reformedlivingministries.org. Now, let's get back to our teacher and hear more about our service of worship to the Lord as we continue our study in Romans.
As a matter of fact, Paul is going to get to a point ultimately in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your lutreo, spiritual service of worship. And the phrase service of worship is one word, the same word that can be translated worship or translated service. So what's the point? The point is everything we do is to be worshiping God. Paul was all in. Everything we do is to be a part of our spiritual service of worship. And the question becomes, okay, but how can I look at my heart? How can I approach the Lord's table and make self-examination, which we're all called upon to do today? How can I look at my heart and say whether or not I'm really serving God from a genuine, pure motive to glorify God, or whether or not it isn't? It's something else. And he is going to give us these marks of genuine worship that show his own heart as we go through this. And I love this because it's a great self-check on all that we do in everything that we do. Because everything we do is a life of worshiping and serving God. All right, verse 8. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. That word thank is critical. The very first thing that marks genuine service for Almighty God, and knowing that it is true spiritual service, is a thankful spirit. A thankful spirit. He is thankful for the people that he ministers to. And he isn't picky or choosy. He doesn't say just these eight. Remember, he's writing under the auspices of the Holy Spirit of God. So every word he says is true. And when he says, I am thankful for all of you, Romans, for you all of you, he means it. Paul has a thankful heart. Every one of the letters he wrote, every one of them, Paul tells the people he's writing to that he is thankful for them, except one letter. Does anybody know which one? It's the book of Galatians. He's not thankful. And the reason why he doesn't is because the Galatians defected from the genuine gospel. They were functioning in the flesh. All the rest of his books, begin with thanksgiving. And we know that every letter he wrote was to correct a problem or point out an error or some need or some way where they were deficient. But even in doing that, he always starts out by saying, I'm thankful, I'm thankful, I'm thankful. There is no greater character quality to emphasize in coming to the Lord's table than you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, should be the most grateful, thankful people on the planet. Talk about Memorial Day. What is the Lord's table is given as a memorial. We express gratitude for the men and women who died to purchase our freedoms as a civilization. The Lord's table is the ultimate memorial. When we remember what God in the person of Christ did to purchase our freedom from the bondage of sin and from ever going to a real place called hell. As one man said, and it's so true, and I've heard it off so many times over and over again, you got heaven, everything else doesn't matter. And Jesus Christ died to purchase heaven for you and for me. And yet there's so many people that go through the world constantly seeing the glass half empty. We of all people should constantly see the glass half full. I remember my late father-in-law, Russ Kaufman, told a story one time. He said, John, when he was in his late 30s and early 40s, he was a protege of a well-known Bible teacher, A.W. Tozer. And Tozer would have my father-in-law many times go to Bible conferences and different churches. And then later on in his ministry, he was called on his own to go to Bible conferences and different churches. And he would fly in and usually be picked up at the airport by the pastor of the church. And he said, John, I will tell you, before we got very far out of the airport on the way to either the parsonage or the church or wherever the pastor was taking me, in the first 10 or 15 minutes after meeting this guy who I'd never met before, I knew instantly whether or not he had a successful ministry. He said, because if the guy in 10 or 15, I would always ask him, tell me about your church. Tell me about your people. Tell me about your congregation. And if he would start off with, well, you know, there's a lot of problems, and you've always got the people that complain about this, and you've always got this, and the elders that, and the deacons this, he said, I knew instantly this guy had problems in his ministry and was not successful. He says, but most often than times than not, you'd get that guy who'd pick you up at the airport and I'd say, hey, tell me something about your church. I've never been here before. And if that guy would say, oh, Russ, you're going to love our people. There's only a couple hundred of them, but they love the Lord and they're striving and they're so generous and they're hungry for the Word of God and it's such a privilege to be able to minister to God's Word. When I would get that type of report from that guy, that thankful heart, he says, I knew that guy had a successful, in the sense of a wonderful relationship with the people to whom he ministered. And it's so true. Paul has never met these people. And yet, he starts out saying, I thank my God. Notice he doesn't say, I thank you, Romans. That would be flattery. Notice he doesn't say, I'm so thankful for what God has done for me. He doesn't say that. That would be selfish. He says, I thank God for what he's done through Jesus Christ for you all because of your faith. It's being proclaimed throughout the whole world. This is basic to the heart of all genuine ministry service for God is a grateful, thankful heart. And by the way, look what he was thankful about. He was thankful that God had given them a testimony of faith that was going on throughout the whole world. As a matter of fact, secular historian, I'm going to mispronounce his name. I never pronounce it right. Suetonius, I think, is the way you say it. He was a Roman historian. Romans is written about 5960 AD, but about 10 or 11 years before Paul wrote Romans, the secular historian recorded that Emperor Claudius in 49 AD kicks all the Jews out of Rome. And the reason why he kicks all the Jews out of Rome is because, and this was poor Emperor Claudius's misunderstanding, there was this sect within Judaism that followed this new man called Christus, obviously Christians, that were stirring up all the Jews. He says there was a constant rancoring going on among all of these Jews, as Claudius put it. And so he expelled all the Jews from Rome. And in doing so, though, the testimony of the Roman believers' faith that was causing all that uproar went throughout the entire world. Superficial, thankless servers of God, quote unquote, never get enough. They're never satisfied. They never see the good of it. They never express a grateful heart. Genuine service for God always springs from a heart that is grateful for the privilege. Let me tell you something. I'm a fallen sinner. I mess up a lot. I get it. We all do. But I will tell you this much. I am so thankful. I am so privileged. There's no place I ever want to be on a Sunday than to be here having the privilege of studying the Word of God with you all every Sunday. I'm so thankful for that. And that's the way we are. And I hope I always have that heart. And I hope we all have that heart in what area of service the Lord has called us to serve in. Now, he's thankful for their faith. And we're really clearing out a lot of underbrush as we go through these first 15, 16 verses of the book of Romans. Because obviously, this is another term that's going to come up over and over again as you go through the book of Romans, is faith. Now, half of you have been here 7, 8 years. You should know this in your sleep. The other half of you have not, so I'll cut you some slack. But I want to give you again this definition of faith. It's sort of my amalgamation that I have pasted and glued together from a whole bunch of sources, and I still think it's the best definition of faith you'll ever get. Faith is this. Faith is the God-given ability to believe in the person and character of God as revealed in the Scriptures, and faith is the God-given ability to entrust your life to the principles, prescriptions, precepts, and promises of God as set forth in the Scriptures. That's faith. And he's going to speak about faith over and over and over again. He says, I thank my God for your... By the way, just as an aside, Paul says he's thankful to God for their faith. Do you know where Paul is when he is writing this? He's in Corinth, and he's hiding out, basically, because the Jews are plotting to kill him there at that point in time.
Even when his own countrymen are trying to kill him, the Apostle Paul is thankful for the faith of his fellow believers. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politan and part one of a message titled Characteristics of Genuine Spiritual Ministry as we continue our new study in Romans. If John's teaching is ministering to you, we invite you to support this radio broadcast with a secure tax-deductible gift of any amount and help us to keep John's teaching on the air. Just visit reformedlivingministries.org. You can also write to John. He loves to receive mail and respond to your letters. You can include a donation made out to Reformed Living in your letter as well. Here's John's mailing address. Reformed Living, P.O. Box 386, 4727 East Bell Road, Suite 45, Phoenix, Arizona, 85032. Thank you. I'm Celeste Montague, and please join us next time as we continue our new study in the book of Romans. And now, here's John to invite you to visit his church and to close our time on the radio today.
This is John Politan, and you've been listening to Reformed Living. Reformed Living Bible Church regularly meets for worship at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday at 6140 East Thunderbird Road in Scottsdale, and visitors are most welcome. If you're interested in learning more about Reformed Living Bible Church, please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Again, that's reformedlivingministries.org. Until next time, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.